We were running out of breath as we ran out to meet ourselves. We were surfacing the edge of our ancestors' fights and ready to strike. It was difficult to lose days in the Indian bar if you were straight. Easy if you played pool and drank to remember to forget. We made plans to be professional, and did. And some of us could sing, so we drummed a firelit pathway up to those starry stairs. Sin was invented by the Christians, as was the devil, we sang. We were the heathens. We needed to be saved from them. Thin chance. We knew we were all related in this story. A little gin will clarify the dark and make us all feel like dancing. We had something to do with the origins of blues and jazz, I argued with a Pueblo as I filled the jukebox with dimes in June. 40 years later, we still want justice. We are still America. We know the rumors of our demise. We spit them out. They die soon. An American Sunrise by Joy Harjo, Muscogee Creek Nation, and U.S. Poet Laureate. Welcome to Delmarva Today. I'm your host, Harold Wilson. Today, Friday, November 28th, is Native American Heritage Day. The legislation establishing the day encourages all Americans to observe the day through appropriate ceremonies and activities. It also encourages schools to enhance student understanding of Native Americans by providing classroom instructions, focusing on their history, achievements, and contributions. To help us honor the heritage of Native Americans, my guest today is Julie Moss, a member of the United Katwa Band of Cherokee, headquartered in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Over the years, Ms. Moss has developed an expertise in writing federal grant applications from her work with Indian tribes. Her work has included serving as elected treasurer of the United Katwa Band of Cherokee, as deputy director and planning director for the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. She also worked with the Rural Development Leadership Network to raise funds to send 50 rural and tribal women and women of color to the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing, China, and has served as a member of Amnesty International USA, their steering committee. That's quite a significant resume, Julie, and I only touched the surface. Thanks for bringing Muscogee, Oklahoma, and the Cherokee to Delmarva today.
Thank you, Hal, or as we say in my language, Wadong, for recognizing Native American Heritage Day, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm pleased to have you here with us, Julie. Julie, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about the pandemic in Oklahoma and in Muscogee County. According to the numbers I've seen, there are about 31,000 active cases now of COVID-19 and over 1,600 deaths. And the trend line for cases is going up. What are you experiencing in your area, and how are you coping with this virus?
What we're experiencing here locally in our community is like what much of the rest of the country is going through. as the pandemic rages. We shut down our offices for nearly a whole month back in April when it first started. I've had my hours cut down. We've shut down temporarily a time or two in the meantime. Probably a couple of weeks ago, we shut down for a few days because we had a exposure scare, and the people we thought had been exposed took tests, and then we were finally able to come back to work. So we've had to work from home during those times, and then our town here just issued a mask mandate just this week. And of course, there's the sickness and loss of life of family, friends, and our community treasures, our elders. It's devastating.
Well, I understand that the Cherokee that there is some good news among the Cherokee, that you were doing better than a lot of the other Native American tribes in the country. And that is, as I understand, because of the fairly strict mask requirements and so forth in your community.
And we also have free testing at our Indian Health Service Hospital in Tahlequah. Whenever we say we have an exposure or we think we've had an exposure, they have them certain days of the week there. And they also have them at our county health department here in Muskogee County too.
And you're finding that to be a big help in helping to bring down the case level.
Yeah, and I think people are taking this seriously. Although it strikes families, and we've had several families that the whole entire family contracted COVID.
Well, Julie, are you staying safe?
We have been extra careful in our family because I have a mom who's like 91 years old. And so she's pretty much become a shut-in during all of this time. And so we go visit her. And the family makes sure that we wear masks around her. And some of us, there have been a few people in my family that have been exposed. And some of them have contracted the virus, although most of them have come through it real well. But we quarantine and isolate ourselves and don't go around her, stay in touch by phone, things like that. So we're doing good.
Well, good. Well, you stay safe yourself. Julie, I understand that you were a poet, and you have a book of poems out called Priest of War and Peace. Read a couple of poems and talk about them, if you don't mind.
Okay. The book is actually in progress. It's not published yet.
Okay.
And I do want to say you read a poem by one of my favorite poets, Joy Harjo, who happens to be the poet laureate of the United States right now.
Right.
And she is my Facebook friend. And so she had an announcement that I looked at just yesterday. She has been reappointed for the third year as the U.S. poet laureate for next year. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment for a Native American poet, Joy Harjo. We're very proud of her. She's wonderful.
Well, no, she is. I read her poetry and selected that one to start our program with because it's just beautiful.
Yes.
Let's hear some of your poetry now.
Okay. I have a little story. In some ways, it's like, we have Native flute players. And there were some Comanche flute players we used to listen to. In fact, I think one of them came to the event that you and I attended years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Comanche flute players was there. I believe it was Lance Silverheels came and played the flute. And one of the things that he said before he played his flute was, he said, you know, we are flute players and we don't necessarily, they're like artists. You don't necessarily just play on command. Sometimes you have to set the stage. So this poem is called Honor This Drum. And the inspiration for it, actually, I wrote it while we were in China at the Fourth World Conference on Women in Beijing. And one of my lifelong friends now that we've met and became friends there as we traveled to China is a lady by the name of Terry Badhand, who lives in Taos, New Mexico. And she had, and if you've ever been there, you know that it's a mecca for drum makers, the town of Taos. And Terry and her friend Patty Martinson came together, and Terry brought a drum from Taos that a drum maker had loaned her to take to the Fourth World Conference on Women. And so she treated that drum very respectfully the whole entire trip to China and back again. And so the last couple of nights that we were there, I told her, I said, you know, Terry, I'm going to write you a poem. I don't know what it's going to be about, but I'll have it tomorrow. And this is the poem that came out of it because she honored that drum. Honor this drum. The drum, the drum, the drum. It carries the heart of the people. It carries the voice of the mother. The drum is a spirit. It lives deep in the earth. It dances high in the sky, carries laughter in the wind. The drum beat is a storyteller for the ancient ones, the grandfathers, the grandmothers. Hear this and smile. The drum is the little one of the big sky thunder. The drum spirit sings from this drum. The drum spirit lives. The drum spirit lives. The drum spirit lives in this drum. What don't, what don't, what don't, what don't.
That's beautiful. The drum. Talk about a little bit more. Your poem conveys it, but talk a little bit more about the significance of the drum in the Native American culture.
Well, the way I see it, drums have been a very powerful form of cultural communication and tradition with tribal people all over the world. In fact, when Terry had her drum when we were in China, we gathered on the steps of a building to sing. Terry is a singer. She's her and her family sing traditional songs around the country, and they're very, very wonderful at it. Anyway, we took that drum, which it was really kind of hard to take any drum to China because you had to carry it all the way, you know. So she had a hand drum, and we gathered on the steps, and she just started hitting that drum and started singing. And it was almost as though it called all the people to that place. All these women just heard that drum, and they began to gather around the drum and sing songs. And there were indigenous women from all over the world. And the thing about the drum is that there are whole cultural societies or tribes that honor their drums. I know that the Anishinaabe people have what they call houses, traditional houses that they build with drums. And of course, other tribes use them in traditional ceremonies and songs. In my tribe, in our traditional ceremonies, we had what we call a water drum. And it's basically like a kettle or something, and they put water in it, and it makes a real wonderful noise, sound. And I've been at those ceremonies, and it really takes you back to ancient times, and you think that this sound was with my ancestors in ancient times and is still here with us today. We're still practicing this same thing today. So it's a wonderful cultural tradition.
Will you organize a community event around the drum called Drums for Mother Earth? Tell us a little bit about that service that you put together, and the role the drum plays in that prayer service?
Well, the thing about Native Americans, and especially in my growing up and in my perspective, we're very close to the earth. And we consider the earth as our sacred Mother Earth. And we try to honor her. And so this event that we organized, we do on Earth Day. And we began back in 2018. And then this year, this year, we weren't really able to do it like we had before. You know, we have a gathering, we have prayers, songs, ceremonies, talks, you know, whatever people feel like doing. But we try to have the drum beat as a constant throughout the whole thing. And the first year we had drums that people brought with them to our gathering. And we met at the Courthouse Square in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, in Indian country. And so we gathered at dawn and we gave prayers and ceremonies for the Mother Earth. And with all of the global warming and all of the environmental degradation, I felt it was important, which is why I helped to organize this event. And the drum plays a central role. And the way we look at it, or the way I speak of it, when we have our ceremonies and prayers and songs and drumming, is that it's like when we beat the drum, it's like in solidarity with the heartbeat of Mother Earth. And so it's just a local ceremony that we have here every Earth Day to celebrate and honor our sacred Mother Earth.
Julie, say something before you read your next poem. Say something about what seems to me to be the special relationship that the Native American community has with the earth and with the environment.
Well, you know, I used to be on the Indigenous Steering Committee of Amnesty International, Southern region, which is out of Atlanta. And over the years that I served in that capacity, I traveled around all over the world. And one of the things that I used to talk about to groups was that the indigenous people, they're much like a part of the earth. In fact, our origin stories in my tribe talk about us coming out of the earth when we were originally formed. And so we're part of the earth and the earth is part of us. We look at the earth as our sacred mother. And in many ways, the indigenous people of the world are like the last defenders of Mother Earth. And also they're the first people to notice the global warming because they fish, they hunt, they gather herbs and plants and food for sustenance and things like that. So we're constantly in touch with the earth because we're in touch with all of the animals and the creatures of the earth for sustenance. We see and we know the seasons and we know how the earth operates and all of the creatures that live upon the earth and in the forests and woods and the plants too. That's the way I see it.
Julie, read another poem for us, if you don't mind, another of your poems.
Okay. Well, you know, November 11th was Veterans Day. And years back, my nephew was in the National Guard, and he was called to go to Iraq. And so when he returned, I wrote this poem for him. And for others, because one of the things in my book, I talk about in the introduction that in our ceremonies, in our original ceremonies of war in our tribe, we had ceremonies that we took our warriors through before they went to war to help them be more fierce in battle. And then when they returned from war, we had other ceremonies that we took them through to remove the stains of war and battle from them so that they could live in peace again among us. And so to me, this was my version of that for my nephew and other warriors who returned. I've included this in my book, and hopefully people would see it. And in fact, I talk about these things to combat veterans before, and it really moves them, the idea that we would have these ceremonies to help them come and live among us in peace again, because it apparently it's something that's extremely important to them, whether they're Native or not. So this poem is called Returning Warrior Song. The warrior is coming home now. Our native son has returned to us. Warrior, may the earth rise up to calm your troubled soul. May the rains of heaven pour down upon you. Let it wash away the stains. Wash away the stains of battle. May the wind blow a gentle breeze to soothe your weary spirit and bring calm to the fury. May the hand of a child bless you and bring your smile back to us. Warrior, give thanks to return with your life. Give thanks for all life. This day, we give thanks for your life, for it is a good day to live. Let the war remain behind you. Let peace remain before you. Step into your new life, into the loving arms of home.
That's beautiful also, Julie. Just gorgeous. Well done. Well done. I hope your book, you said that it's not, it's in progress now. It's not published yet. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
When do you think it'll be coming out?
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm a grant writer for a living, and I live by deadlines. And in fact, I don't get on social media as often as I want. Usually it's after midnight when I get on there, if I do, for a little while, because I'm so busy. And so this is something that I've had in progress for a while. I think I've got it about 2/3 done. Hopefully I'll get it to come out in the next few years. And part of what drives me to try to finish that is because I feel like it would help people returning from war, because what I do know is that they're still saying that 22 veterans a day commit suicide.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the enemy wins long after the battle when that happens, and they come back sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes with wounds to their spirit that we can't see. And so I was hoping that I could come out with a book and that some of those poems might help them to heal, or think about healing, or think about, you know, things that might help them to live in peace.
Well, I don't know if we can wait a couple of years, Julie. Get to work on putting together the final version of this thing, so while we can all read it and enjoy it. We have just a couple of minutes left. Let me shift gears a little bit and ask you about the Rural Development Leadership Network that you've participated in, and you worked through to get your master's degree.
Yes. Rural Development Leadership Network is a social change, multicultural social change organization. And they work with community leaders in communities of color and rural communities to do all kinds of good work, but also to help credential grassroots community organizers, which is what I was and what I went through their program and was able to get my master's degree. And I will say that it's a wonderful program, and they're recruiting right now. And she's recruiting for people. They have a master's and a bachelor's, and I believe they have a PhD program now that people can participate in.
Julie, I do happen to have their website address here. It's rdln@ruraldevelopment.org. I understand, Julie, that there's another organization you would like to mention.
I also want to give a quick shout out to my co-sponsor on the Drums for Mother Earth event called Cherokees for Black Indian History Preservation. They're my nonprofit sponsor for that program. And they are listening, I'm sure, to the program. And they have a nonprofit, and they do cultural programming and educational programming. And they actually even have a book called that they've edited that's called Black Indians in Oklahoma. And anyway, they're a wonderful group.
Let me go back to the Rural Development Leadership Network for just a moment and ask you if this is a very important program for Native Americans. Do many Native Americans participate?
The program makes a special effort to recruit Native Americans each year they do their program. And so they always have at least one or two participating in their program each year. And then when we went to China, we had around 15 or 20 Native American women that traveled to China when we went there. So they made a special outreach effort.
So this is also a significant resource, educational resource for Native Americans. Well, let me ask you, if you don't mind, if you would read one more poem for us. I would appreciate that.
All right. And the theme seems to be drums. This one is called Drum Heart Woman. Pungent cedar smoke rises to heaven, blesses her prayers, carries them in a sacred cloak. The ancient ones know her thankfulness. They speak well of her to the Holy One. She holds inside her the hopes of her ancestors, the dignity of her tribal ways. Her humility opens the sacred door for her heart to pour through, strong and deep, like a tribal drum.
Tell us a little bit about that poem, Julie.
That one just came to me. I always have visions in my mind when I'm having some inspiration. That one was like thinking of a very prayerful Native woman that prays for her people. And that was what I was envisioning there. And, in the returning warrior, Honor This Drum, or actually the Priest of War and Peace book, I imagine and picture these eagles standing on top of a high, high, high mountain that's so far up that nobody knows, can even see them, on a flat plateau. And they have their wings down, and they're all in a circle, which is a council. And they're discussing these things about going to war or having peace. And so that's what I envision for that title of the book.
It's excellent, Julie. Thank you very, very much. And I want to thank you for all you do and for bringing this bit of Native American culture to us today on Delmarva Today. And I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm your host, Harold Wilson.